The place is your hoe. Welcome to Hoe Ventures, a podcast about the riveting tales of professional daters. Here is your host, Chantel Etoile.
Hi guys, welcome to episode 10 of Hoe Ventures. I do want to apologize for my audio last week. It was complete trash, and my mom says she needs a redo because she does not feel like her voice was heard because of my mistake. So apologies to all you listeners that had to suffer through it, and apologize to my mom because she, you know, she wanted to be seen in her heard in her best light, and she was not, and that was all of my fault. But anyway, today my audio is fixed, and I now have the gorgeous, stunning, vivacious Aurora Noor.
Hello. Welcome to the show. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I have been a longtime fan of yours. If you do not know who she is, she takes some of the most stunning photos. She has excellent style, and just everything about your photos are just absolutely amazing. I've been fangirling for years, so I'm so happy to I haven't actually talked to you, heard your voice other than your show. But anyway, so I'm so excited to have you on today. And so let's just get right into the interview.
Yeah, let's do it.
Where are you based?
I'm in Chicago. I'm in downtown Chicago. So yeah, if you're in the Midwest or in the burbs, you gotta come to downtown to see me.
Yes. Well, I love Chicago. The food scene there is so good.
Oh yeah.
You guys have some really good vegan restaurants. So that has been, I went there once. I haven't toured there, but the food
come
there
tour.
Was I've tried, and then some reason it just never worked out. But I would like to go back because, just the food is just so amazing.
Oh man, I'm a huge foodie, and anytime people come to visit, so if you want to come visit, just let me know, and I will take you to some fabulous places, some fabulous
places. Oh yay, yay! I think is it Handlebar? I think is the name. Handlebar is a vegan restaurant, right? Okay, yeah. So I did remember the name. They have a really good mushroom Nashville hot chicken sandwich.
Oh, so yeah. It is. That's funny you mentioned that. I actually got that in the last couple months, and it was excellent.
It's so good. Can somebody ship it to me? You know, it's so good. It's amazing. So yes, Chicago, you're I think the second person from Chicago.
Oh, nice. I
love Chicago. It's a fun city.
It's great.
So how long have you been a professional dater?
About seven. I started in sugaring in about 2015, and I started in companionship in 2016. So now 6-7 years kind of in the industry.
Okay, I swear we all have the same origin story.
Oh yeah,
starting out in sugaring—that's a whole different topic. But it's really funny to prove a point to people who think sugaring is so easy. That's how most of us ended up being professional daters, because the sugar scene is just a shit show.
It's the Wild West. It's messy. Never mind. We're not here to talk about
it. And it doesn't have to be. That's the sad thing. It does not have to be, but there's just so many games out there.
Companionship is what sugaring wants to be. And I'm happy that I'm no longer doing that. Yeah.
I still have a soft spot in my heart for sugaring. So I have come up with some ideas of how to fix it, and we'll talk about that
Hell
later.
Yeah.
But I have some ideas of how I'm going to revolutionize the sugaring scene. Okay. All right. So before you share your adventure, but you have a very interesting adventure today, kind of a compilation of dates between you and a long-term client.
Yes.
So this is my questions are a little bit off because when you guys plan your dates, do you both plan them, or is it mostly you?
It's entirely. So this particular client, lover, suitor, I've been seeing since November 2017 or so.
Okay.
So we're encroaching on 5 years, and initially we didn't really do dinner, or I think our first booking or two was 2-3 hours, and it wasn't It wasn't a dinner date. And then it just kind of like fell into that. Like we started talking about food and we started talking about restaurants nearby and whatnot. So it's like, it evolved into that. And now, I don't know, several times a year we meet up. It's always for our birthdays. And then typically like, I don't know, 4 or 5 times a year total. And we go to usually some type of tasting menu that he will pick around the city. Yeah. Usually I don't even like, we'll talk kind of briefly, like talk about like on one date, what we want to do the next time. And then he will just like email me and be like, all right, we're going to this thing and we're going to do this. And I'm like, all right, perfect. I love that. I can just show up and you plan it and I feel taken care of and it's awesome.
Oh, that's so fun. I mean, we do love a well-planned date.
Oh, yeah.
Like we've mentioned in the previous episodes, you know, that of course we enjoy planning. It's what we do. It's part of our job. But whenever we do have a wonderful gentleman that, you know, just kind of takes over for us and does the planning, it's always fun. And it's always fun to just kind of see what they come up with. Like that's always exciting. Kind of get a sense of their personality as well, you know? All right. So you said that your first date was like back in 2017 and it was like a 2 or 3 hours. So not a dinner date. Mm-hmm. And then you guys slowly progressed from there. So what is like, so you said you now see each other birthdays and you guys like kind of celebrate a little anniversary between the two of you?
So the first time we met, I believe it was like right around his birthday. So we kind of consider like, whenever we meet like in that time of year, like that's like our little anniversary slash his birthday get together.
Oh, so cute. That is really cute. Okay. So you guys meet up a couple times a year and then you have, so what are some of your favorite, some of the favorite dates that you've had with him? Cause you said you usually do some sort of tasting menu. Do you have one that was like your absolute favorite that you just, you get like a craving for?
There have been a few that have been like really sensational. One was this place called Acadia that actually closed. So that's kind of like, good thing I went because they won't be open again. Yeah.
Oh no.
That was a really special place. I'm pretty sure it was like a 2 or 3 star Michelin restaurant. And they also had like a really fabulous like bar menu that I would go back to here and there. I went there like a few years ago with him. And then there was actually, we went recently to a place called Kasama, which is a Filipino restaurant, and they had a tasting menu as well. And I believe they also have like a, I think they also have like a brunch on the weekends and they have a regular menu, but tasting menu is absolutely amazing. One of my favorites, this was like years ago at this point, it's called Elska, I believe. And it's a Scandinavian place and they had a tasting menu as well. And the food was sensational, but one thing I thought was really cool, at the time, I had really never seen this before. They had non-alcoholic drink pairings, which is really neat. And now kind of like a lot of places do that, but I like going, cause like if you're going and you have like 7 glasses of wine or like multiple cocktails, it can be a lot, you know, like
it's a lot. It is a lot.
Like that's a lot to drink in the 3 hours that you're there or whatever. So usually sometimes we'll get like, one of us will get like a wine pairing. The other person will get a non-alcoholic pairing and like try both. I always think that's kind of fun. I'm a big like sharer with food. Like, I want to try, what do you have? Like, let me try that.
So I love sharing food. It's just, you know, I don't get to share often because I'm plant-based. So a lot of times, you know, my date will have something that I really can't try unless we go to a vegan restaurant or something like that. But sharing food is always like, is so fun to do on a date. It's kind of, it's very romantic. I always that it's very romantic.
Oh yeah. Food is just, food can be intimate in so many ways. Like I used to do like a ton of cooking dates with people. I've done cooking dates with this particular suitor a few times as well, both at my place and his place. Yeah.
Oh, fun.
I love like the care that goes into it. I love like the whole process of like shopping together and like, it's just sexy. Like you're in the kitchen together and like you're creating something and like you're letting each other taste things. Like it's just, it's another way to build intimacy. And it's like, I love to cook and it's a whole thing. I love it.
You know, I tell people all the time, Because I know a lot of people get stuck when they hear the word intimate. Mm-hmm. They think that it means like sex, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, there is so much more to intimacy outside of the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And like true intimacy starts to build way before you even get to the bedroom.
Right.
So I love that you touched on that, you know, the cooking experience going. And you said you like, so you guys go grocery shopping together. Mm-hmm. When you did the cooking. Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
I recently had a girl on that also had like a whole cooking date and they went grocery shopping together. And I don't know why, but it's like the most like mundane task. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so cute.
But they like, I swear, like suitors absolutely love it too, though. Like they, it makes them feel good to be like out with like a someone that's done up. And like, I like it. I like the attention. Like, yeah.
I mean, it's nice to get the attention. I mean, obviously you're gorgeous. I've had a few dates, you know, where we went grocery shopping. I was not done up. Mm-hmm. I don't really, getting done up is not, makeup is not my thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, this particular person just likes me to wear yoga clothes. So, I mean, that's his thing for me. So we went grocery shopping, you know, and I'm wearing just like my yoga pants and he's in, you know, his like relaxing clothes. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a normal afternoon. And I find that a lot of our long-term clients, mm-hmm. and when we get to what I consider like the core aspect of being a professional dater, mm-hmm. most of those clients like to just have like the most normal days.
Oh yeah. And I definitely have those suitors as well, that it's like, yeah. I actually have another person that I was thinking about kind of having my whole venture be about. And like, I've also seen them for like 5 years and like, that's pretty much our dates. Like they're cool with no makeup. They're cool with whatever yoga pants and or robe I'm wearing at the time. Like, yeah. I love that. Like there are so many different facets of this lifestyle and this line of work that it's like, people like every version of what I'm serving. And that's awesome.
It truly is. And I feel like people get stuck into the stereotype of what mm-hmm. we do, which again, one of the reasons I started this show is because I'm just like, I just want people to see like all the different types of dates or just adventures in general that mm-hmm. that we have. You know, we get the stereotype of everyone thinking that we're just like in some hotel room, like 10 hours a day,
right.
just like waiting for rotation of people.
Right.
And I'm like, oh man, I don't even work that much. Like that's a lot. Like that's right. a lot of work. I'm tired. Like, you know, a couple dates a week for me personally,
right.
just because I have so much going on. I'm not, you know, just held up laying in bed, legs spread, just waiting
right.
for the next guy to come through.
Yeah, like actually, like earlier in my career, like I definitely had more competitive rates. Like I would leaned into reviews and stuff, and I worked like I was very burnt out after like that kind of work for a couple of years. So I'm like, I'm just gonna start creating my brand. Like how I want it to serve me. Like, does
yes.
this make me happy to go to bookings? Does this make me happy to get ready for this? Am I excited to look forward to what I'm bringing in? Like. Yeah. And finally I am. And it feels really good to be like, okay, I've created this type of work that like, I'm excited to do every day.
That's a really good point that you touched on the burnout. A lot of people do not understand that we do get burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you had like competitive rates before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, on the people on the outside, they come to our website, they look at our rates and they think that we're just all rich, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you know, like
I'm making $600 an hour, 10 hours a day, 7 days
and
a
it's
week.
Like, no,
I wish, but
that's not how that works. And then, you know, I think we all had started out like that, right? Where we thought that our rates was like our worth.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we tried to have competitive rates to stack as much cash as we could. We burnt out. And then we finally got to a place where it's like, okay, I think I'm going to build my business to suit me and not just like, oh, how many clients that I can get. Because even if your rates are, you know, competitive, you may not even get the clients that you like.
Yeah.
And
truly,
that is
like every time I raise my rates, like the right clients will find you. I don't want to turn this into a discussion of like, raise your rates, but like, if you're afraid to, don't be like,
but you raise your rates because it was what suited you.
Oh yeah.
Not because you thought that, you know, it made you look more appealing or whatever.
Yeah. I was just like, I'm kind of tired. Like I'm working a lot and like some days, like it just doesn't, I didn't feel like some days like waking up and being like, okay, I don't feel like this is the rate that makes me motivated to do something today in a way.
Right. And you know, you're in Chicago, so your rates are going to be a lot different than being here in Tampa, Florida. And I think people forget that your rates are where you are. You know, they're drastically different. And then they're different just what's going on in your personal life. And how much do you want to work or how little do you want to work?
Yeah.
And that's like just such a good point that a lot of people just really tie our rates into what we feel our worth is. And I remind everybody, you are worthless. Okay. Your life is worthless. Your value is worthless. Like there's no amount of money that you can put on yourself.
Yeah. What would make you motivated to do the work at hand? That's kind of how I think about it. I'm like, okay, I want to wake up and do this today.
I just said worthless, and that is
not. I mean, you meant priceless. I was going to let it. I'm like, what are you getting at here? Okay.
Wait, no, not worthless, priceless. Oh my God. Priceless. I can't, like, don't come for me, people.
Yeah. You're worthless. That's the sounds that they use.
I misspeak to people. Okay. That's okay. But no, you're priceless. You're priceless. Your rates do not mean that you have no value, right? Even if you're in a smaller city where you have to charge less and you're looking at these girls in New York who are charging $1,500 an hour, don't compare yourself because you can't.
Number one, comparison is the thief of joy. And then two, like, don't even worry about, I really like struggled with pricing and rates for the longest time because I'm like, oh my God, I don't feel like I don't deserve to be charging the same as this person or because they invested more in their brand or this or that, or like, I want to charge this, but I don't think I can. And it's like, don't worry about what other providers are doing. Like, honestly, if you are charge whatever you want, I think there is an element of like, you need to be realistic and like, be realistic and kind of like keep an eye on what your local market is doing. Like don't, probably not a great idea to go in like, okay, I'm going to charge $3,500 for 1 hour and not have a website and no professional photos and nothing. Maybe someone will book. Like keep an eye on things, know your market and stuff. But like at the end of the day, do whatever the hell you want, whatever makes you comfortable.
Yeah. Like what is going to motivate you to leave the house that day? Like that is like the key factor. And if you're too busy, then maybe you should raise your rates if you feel like you're declining appointments because you're just burnt out or tired, like you said. And I think, you know, just people forget that we are human beings and we have normal human issues. We get sick, we get tired, we get depressed, we are normal humans. And all of that factors into why we charge what we charge or, you know, whatever it is, why we only want certain types of dates. I raised my 1 hour, not because, you know, I'm just like, oh yeah, you know, I just don't want to leave the house for less than my 1 hour rate.
Yeah.
Like I raised it because I'm like, I'm tired. It's a lot of effort to get dressed and everything. So if if I want to offer it, because a lot of people are nervous booking like a whole dinner date. What if you don't get along? Right. So they start out with just like, well, let me just do like an hour or two. And I'm like, you know, I totally get that. But like, I don't want to leave my house. Interrupt my entire day for this 1 hour date. I mean, it turns into like 3 or 4 hours of your time. You know, if you don't work where you live, you said you have a separate place where you work, right? You have an end call. So you have to like get dressed and like go to the end call and then make sure that's always set up. And,
having a separate end call is like a whole other can of worms. Now I'm like, shit, did I do laundry like when I left last time? Like, is it clean? Oh, and speaking of humanizing us, last week I had to move two appointments because I went to my in-call and there was like a plumbing issue that was just happened out of fucking nowhere. So I'm like, yes. It was like an hour and a half before a booking. And then it was like, yeah, it was just a nightmare, but it's all settled now. And everyone was very nice about it. And I'm like, I'm really sorry. This is very unprofessional. But it life happens. What can I do?
It's so embarrassing when things like out of our control happens, but I mean, yeah, we're human. Like we're not getting to our apartments, you know, 6 hours in advance to make sure everything is like perfect. We have lives.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just really important. I know that wasn't really part of your adventure, but you mentioned
hey,
the burnout.
It's important though. Like burnout is real and like you have to take care of yourself in this industry. Like it's incredibly hard to get online every day and like you're just out there for people to consume you. Like you have to take care of your mental health. You have to take care of your body. Like I think everything. That's honestly, if anyone's going to take anything from this episode, it's like, take care of yourself, put yourself first in this industry.
Put yourself first. And I always feel like when we put ourselves first, we provide better dating experience.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
When like I tell clients, and I know most girls are like this, like I don't do same day. I can't squeeze you in. And they think it's because like, oh, I just, you know, I'm like some pretentious little princess or something. And it's like, if I squeeze you in, you're probably not going to have the best experience.
Yeah. Like I know myself.
I'm frazzled, like my brain is frazzled. I'm not on like my A game
right.
If I'm squeezing you in somewhere and you know, I just can't perform under those kind of dates. Even
yeah.
You know, even outside of the bedroom, even if it's a dinner date, like I mentally prepare myself for dinner dates.
Oh yeah, I do. I definitely need like mental preparation for stuff. And maybe this is very candid, but I think it might like help some providers listening. I've canceled bookings because of mental health. Like I just didn't feel like I would be able to provide the best service that day, you know? And it's like, it is what it is. I don't want someone to have a bad time. I don't want to have a bad time. I don't want to have a weird experience with someone. I don't want to be off my game and like have boundaries are pushed or something. Like watch out for yourself. Number one, always.
Absolutely. Every single time. And I know it does suck on the client's end because mm-hmm. they've usually, you know, figured out their schedule or something like that. But it's like, also look at, do you really want to spend that amount of money for a mediocre or terrible experience because we're just not mentally there?
Yeah.
I know that I've pushed through before and it's like, man, I did not give my best and
it just doesn't feel
good.
Why they
never called me back, you know?
Like, I'm like, well, probably not going to see you again, but that's okay.
You know, and it's like, and I think a lot of us, especially years into this business, we figured out that having repeat clientele is so much better than having a bunch of one-offs.
Oh, God, yeah.
It actually is better profit-wise. I don't know if people know that. It is much better profit-wise because you don't have to push so much on advertising, paying so much on advertising.
It's better profit-wise. It's better. I think it's better mental health-wise. You don't have to keep stepping into that new role of like meeting new people over and over and over again, which like I do. I see new clients all the time, but like
yeah, of course you do. Yeah.
There's comfort in seeing yeah. someone that you know and you have a connection with. And like also it's a safety thing. Like meeting new clients all the time, it's kind of nerve-wracking. It could be
it
scary
is.
And you might
you
miss
never
things
know.
In screening. Yeah.
We screen as best as we can, but you know, there's no 100% of anything, mm-hmm. right? There's
yeah,
you know, there's obvious, you know, whether you miss it or something was hidden, there's just mm-hmm. there's always a danger in meeting new clients. But you've been with this client for like 5 years almost, mm-hmm. and like so how the progression happened, like was it kind of slow or did he just realize like, oh, you're my favorite, I'm just gonna keep like booking you over and over?
I don't know. Actually, the client in particular, I know that he sees like a couple of my peers and okay. I think he like, that's just his style. He like sees a few different people and like does like extended bookings with all of them. I think that's just his jam. And I like wanted to bring him up specifically for this because like a lot of the dates I do are like things that you mentioned where like they prefer them more natural and stuff. So it's like the perception is like, oh my God, providers are probably doing these dates all the time. And it's like, I am sometimes, but like most of my stuff is more like low key and Girl Next Door. So it's like, I definitely look forward to the things where I get to dress up. And it's like, those are the dates that you see that I post, like, oh, I finally posted like my whole outfit and there's like a pretty little dish next to it or something. So
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, but it has definitely been the progression of like, I think it was a 2-hour booking the first one. The next date, I actually do remember where we went the next time. It was a place called Dusix, and it's in Pilsen, if anyone is familiar with Chicago. And it's in like a, yeah.
Like, what's Pilsen? Oh, I'm sure there are plenty of people that are familiar with Chicago.
Yeah, and it's like, it was this really cool, like, old, it's now a music venue, but it looks like this old castle, and there's like a Michelin star restaurant in it. And then they also have downstairs, there's this like this really beautiful bar area that has like a secret library that they open on the weekends, and it's like a secret wall that they open.
And you went with him.
Yes. And I think I've probably been there, I don't know, a handful of times since then. It's always very delicious. And
how many Michelin star restaurants do you guys have in Chicago? Because we have none in Tampa.
Oh God, I don't even know. I feel like they like released a list recently, and I don't think there are like a ton. There's probably more than most cities, but we probably are paling in comparison to like San Francisco, LA, and New York. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been to a Michelin star restaurant before because.
Oh, you gotta go.
We don't have any in Florida.
Oh my goodness.
Is there one in Miami?
Oh my God. I was going to say not even in Miami. That's wild.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people think that I go to Miami all the time. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't like Miami. The traffic sucks. Mm-hmm. And it's just tourist city. Like, no matter where you go, it's just tourists everywhere. And, you know, I have enough of that being in Tampa, Tampa and Orlando. And then it's just like Miami is just like tourists on steroids. And I just can't. For the listeners that don't know, Aurora does have a podcast herself.
Oh, yeah.
And I would like you to touch on that. You're one half of the podcast. I'll be interviewing your co-host later today. So that's exciting. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So I do a podcast called Afternoon Delight with the lovely Isabella Bloom, who will be on later today. And we just have... Our first season was kind of like more informative, and we just started the second season a few months ago. First season was like we discussed how to book a provider, like questions that listeners had, and we also kind of touched on like how we spend holidays, like what do we do with suitors around our birthdays, holidays, etc., different kind of date ideas. Now this season we're leaning more into kind of like a vlog or a video diary or something along those lines, just more of letting listeners into our lives. And I don't know, it's just more conversational. And like today, actually we're filming today for our upcoming or for the May episodes. And like today we have our first guest and we have a male porn performer, which is very exciting. We're just kind of looking to, I don't know. When we first started, we're like, this is just the podcast that no one asked for. Like, we're just a couple of people.
I was going to touch on that because I saw it. Like, you guys had that in your Twitter bio, the podcast no one asked for. And I thought it was hilarious because every time somebody starts a podcast in this industry, everybody gets upset about it for some reason.
I know. And it's like, we weren't doing it for any goal other than to be like, okay, we're just going to do this because we want some kind of like thing to do, like some creative outlet. Yeah. If every man online can make a podcast about whatever the hell they want, I can make a podcast with my friend, just talking about our lives, you know?
Exactly. And I thought it was very clever, you know, the podcast no one asked for. And I was like, you know, and then like, I was like, okay, I'm about to launch now. And so definitely nobody asked for this podcast either, but I personally love podcasting. You know, I got my feet wet with TSEG and I'm like, I'm hooked. I love talking to people. I love like hearing people's stories and sharing their experience and everything. And I honestly do not think that I don't think we have enough podcasts in this industry.
I know.
People think we have enough. And I'm like, no, we don't. We need to have our voices out there.
I don't know, half a dozen I can think of off the top of my head. And it's like, yeah, that's great. But it's a huge industry. It's a huge community. And it's a hugely diverse community. There's so many different lanes of sex work. There's so many different types of people. Like, why not have your voice out there?
I think that everybody, I mean, I don't know. It's not like TV, you know. You can listen to the audio anywhere at any time. You don't have to be, you know, watching it. I listen to podcasts, not while I'm doing yoga, but like if I'm going for a walk, I might listen to a podcast.
I'm about to do that after this. It's so nice out. I listen to podcasts 24/7, honestly.
You know, and it's like, so, and podcasting is just such a huge industry. And I'm like, why is it that in, you know, every other niche, there, you know, people love, oh, there's a new podcast about real estate. Like, how many podcasts are there about real estate? And nobody complains about there being too many podcasts about real estate.
Right.
But they want to complain when we have too many sex worker podcasts.
Right.
It's like, well, listen or don't listen. But I think that, you know, I think you guys are doing a fantastic job. I love
Thank you, because you did
a couple guest episodes on TSCG. And I'm like, oh, she's starting her own now. Like, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? The more the merrier.
It's the more the merrier. And like anything that gives us a voice and like allows non-sex workers to like have a view into our industry, it's more important than ever right now, given what's going on, like with reproductive rights and whatnot, wherever people stand on that. Anyway, but we don't know where things are going for sex workers is my point.
We don't.
So like, we may as well put your voice out there. If you're thinking about starting something, it doesn't even have to be a podcast. If you are thinking about reaching out outside of sex work into some, I don't know, industry or YouTube or becoming an influencer, like fucking do it now and
do
like
it.
Ride it. Strike while the iron's hot. Like, who knows how long we will have these platforms and we will have a voice. So do it.
Exactly. Put our voices out there. And for me, mostly, especially in this time, it is, you know, with, you know, it's, they are attacking women's rights right now, you know, our body, they want to police our bodies. And right now, more than ever, it is important that our industry is not seen as the enemy. We're not the enemy. We're not ruining marriages. You know, we're not like out there seeking your husbands. We're not out there having weekly abortions. And you know, people think that about us because you know, we got the religious people.
There's a
story that was going around. I used to see all the time on Facebook. Like one of those memes of like, you know, this woman was like a prostitute and she had so many abortions, like her womb was like falling out. And
like number one, no, that doesn't
that's
even
not
like
how bodies work.
Yeah.
Her womb was falling out and she like, so by some miracle, she found a man that loved her and she
God's
was
sake.
Finally able to carry a child because she asked God for forgiveness. You know,
God's like, will. Like, oh my
that's, that's what is out there about our industry.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's sad and it's fear mongering and it's really just rooted in whorephobia and like misogyny and the fear of LGBTQ plus people and it's rooted in racism and all sorts of things. So, like, fuck all those people.
So to say all that, we do not have our voices out there enough, people. Don't be upset with us for starting podcasts. Like, it's benefiting our industry.
Yeah, stop just being don't listen. Like, if you don't like it, don't listen.
I mean, just, or like, you know, I see these people, they're complaining all day on Twitter. And it's like, okay, but like, we're trying to help the industry. And then you're just complaining about what we're doing instead of helping.
Yeah. What are you doing for the industry?
Why don't you join in? Be a guest on my show.
Honestly.
Let somebody hear your voice.
Let's have a panel. We can all have, all the podcasters can like bring on a panel of naysayers and they can ask us questions and we'll interview them and be like, why are you having an issue with this?
Oh no, they would never be that bold. Most of them are anonymous accounts anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, another podcast nobody needs. Like, yes, here it is.
Yeah. And I'm sure
it's entertaining somebody. It's entertaining somebody.
Right.
Well, this has been a great adventure. I'm so happy that you've shared. I mean, because you have a lot of years of experience. I'm so happy to hear your side of the industry and you talking about burning out. So the overall goal of this episode, guys, don't let yourself burn out. Who cares about what people think about your rates, whether they're too high or too low? Do what is good for you. Do what is best for your mental health and go eat all the delicious tasting menus.
Yeah, find yourself a tasting menu, babe. Like, find one of those. It's really great.
I love that your, like, most of your dates have, like, this theme of, like, the tasting menu.
I love it. I don't, we just kind of like fell into it, and now we're like working down like all the, through a list of these places. I'm very excited.
Oh, you have a list now going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and one other, you mentioned there's a fantastic, I've mentioned on my podcast, it's a place called Bloom here, and it's a vegan tasting, or it's a vegan restaurant, but it's like a higher end, and they have a tasting menu. So if you ever come to Chicago, we can absolutely go do that. That would be
fantastic. Oh, I need to fly me to you to Chicago, yes. Guys.
Somebody, we're putting it out into the universe.
Somebody fly me to Chicago, book this restaurant, Bloom. And yes, let's make this happen, because I very rarely have can find like a high-end vegan restaurant.
Oh yeah.
And the last one I went to was in Paris.
Nice.
It was like a high-end vegan restaurant. And I was like, oh my God, I need more of these. Finally. In Florida. Like, cause I got to dress up, you know, like
yes.
most vegan places are like, you know, like little hole in the wall.
It's a handlebar. Like, yeah.
Like amazing food. Like, don't get me wrong. Amazing food. But it's like, yeah, I'm not going, you know, dressed in Louis Vuittons and, you know, wearing Chanel bags and stuff.
Right.
So let's get that going, guys.
Yes.
Or thank you so much for sharing your insight. Like, this was it ventured off from just your date, but I loved it. I think it was important that you know, people hear, and I'm sure there's going to be some new girl coming into the industry that's going to stumble across this episode. And I think everything that you shared is amazing for everybody to hear and for people to stop stereotyping us, because we are humans, right?
Yeah. So I'm just like, outside of this, I'm just a cat lady who like is likes to go for walks and likes to cook and likes to do crafts. You know, I'm a very normal, cool person.
I love it. The cat lady outside of, I mean, you're like the sexy cat lady though. Like,
oh, thank you.
Very sexy cat lady. So thank you so much again, Aurora, for being on my show.
And, yes, thank you.
I can't wait to talk to your co-host later.
Yes.
And let me know when you want me to be on your show.
Yes, we're going to have you.
We will schedule that and you guys can hear me there. I'm so excited.
Yes. Should I plug my socials and whatnot?
You absolutely should, because I have this card right here in front of me, and then I forgot to ask you, because that's what I do best is forget things.
Hey,
so where can everybody find you?
You can find me at Date Aurora, DateAurora on Twitter and Instagram. The Afternoon Delight podcast is at Podcast Delight on Twitter and Instagram. We're also on Patreon and YouTube under that. And we have all of our video episodes, except for the first two or three, I believe, are available on YouTube. And then everything else is on our Patreon for $5 a month. And then we also have a $20 tier where we put like extras. Like, we were just in LA and did a photo shoot, and we have a bunch of content from that and whatnot.
Oh, fun. Okay. Yeah. Well, you guys make sure you listen. After you listen to Ho Ventures, jump on over and listen to Podcast Delight, because I'm sure you will learn something new.
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you so much again, Aurora. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Yay. Thank you so much. This was fantastic.
Thank you. And as always, keep it sexy.
Yes. Keep it sexy, guys.
Thanks for listening. Please leave a 5-star rating on iTunes or any of your listening platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and follow the show on Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube at Ho Ventures, and on Instagram at Ho Ventures Podcasts. As always, keep it sexy.